From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, of course, we will continue with our split show, Later Reincarnation, Healing and Time Travel with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Here's what's happening. Are we going over the cliff? Some people think we are. That's the fiscal cliff. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner is saying that the country would go over a year-end fiscal cliff of tax hikes and spending cuts unless Republicans agree to Democrats' demand to raise taxes on the richest U.S. households. Geithner also spelled out that a deal to avoid the fiscal cliff must also involve a change in congressional rules that would make it harder to block an increase in the U.S. debt ceiling. Sounds like they're going to try to print more money, doesn't it? Citigroup announces it will cut 11,000 jobs as part of a plan to trim costs, a first major initiative from the bank's new CEO. On the good news end, Starbucks plans to increase the number of its cafes in the Americas by more than 20% by opening more than 3,000 new shops in the next 5 years, as it looks now to rely on tea and juice as much as coffee. Well, at least that means more jobs. Catherine Austin Fitz, she's with us now. First of all, Catherine, the fiscal cliff, they still haven't cut a deal yet, but it seems like some Republicans are beginning to fight with each other.
George, before this is over, I think everybody's going to be fighting with everybody. you're trying to solve a solution in a box when you have to leave the box to find solutions. So I think this is going to be, I think we're in for not just a tense period through this one, but this is going to continue because whatever taxes they apply, and I think they are going to apply some, and we're all going to have to face higher taxes next year. You can't solve this by raising taxes. It's not enough because we're shrinking the pie. So I think this is the beginning of a long conversation that's going to go on for quite a while.
I think so, too. So what happens if we get to the point, Catherine, where they don't cut a deal?
Well, it depends. That we have two issues. One is we have automatic taxes going into effect. In other words, the Bush tax cuts expire, and we go back to where we were before. So income taxes go up, taxes on dividends and interest and capital gains go up as well. But we also have automatic spending cuts happen. And then, of course, the big issue in terms of liquidity is does the debt limit get extended? So if you don't extend the debt limit, you can't finance the government. And if you don't sort of repackage the tax changes, and you get automatic spending cuts and automatic tax increases. Now, I think what's going to happen is if we don't address it before the cliff, it's going to hit the cliff, and then Congress is looking for political pressure, and the administration is looking for political pressure to come back in and pressure Congress to go ahead and compromise. Because if you look at the two parties politically, they're very dug in with their constituencies. And so, you know, basically they're going to kick the can back out to the public and get them to pressure back in.
Citigroup so cutting. Think, go ahead.
Yeah. So I think if we don't make the deadline, you know, it won't take long before the cash flow pressures come back on and require that everybody come to the table and broker a compromise.
We shall see. Citigroup slashing 11,000 new jobs, basically shutting down underperforming bank centers. It's a lot of people.
Remember, George, this is a stock that was trading at $550 in 2007, and today it's up 6% on 11,000 layoffs, 4% of their workforce, and the stock's only trading at 36. And I think Citibank has a lot more pruning to do. And the reality is when you engineer centralization in a way that shrinks the pie, guess what? You end up shrinking your own pie, and that's what happens. That's what's happening to Citigroup, and it's not over yet.
Catherine's website, Solari.com, and she will be our complete guest on Monday, this coming Monday, so make sure you're part of that program. The embattled Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, is considering the possibility to claim political asylum for himself, his family, and his close circle in Latin America if he has to give up power. Also, there are reports that Syria is beginning to load chemicals on top of bombs. Not very smart if they go that far. Makers of the popular Nap Nanny infant recliner seats, which have been tied to the deaths of five babies, have failed to do enough about the potential hazard, according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. So they are suing the company, Baby Matters, which makes the Nap Nanny and Nap Nanny Chill seats, saying that they pose a significant and substantial risk of injury and death to infants. Pioneering jazz pianist and composer Dave Brubeck has died at the age of 91. The musician, whose recordings include this song, Take Five, and Blue Rondo a la Turk, once designated a living legend by the U.S. Library of Congress. He died in his hospital, Dave Brubeck, 91. The smartphones in our pockets are about to get even smarter. Scientists want these gadgets to be put to work, helping them detect and investigate earthquakes. The devices contain what are accelerometers, and a team at the Berkeley Seismic Laboratory says the mechanisms are capable of monitoring earthquakes. An app is being developed that will record the shaking during major events and then report the data back to a central server over the cell network. How about that? NASA's long-lived Voyager 1 spacecraft, which is heading out of the solar system, has reached a magnetic highway leading to interstellar space. The probe, launched 35 years ago to study the outer planets, is now about 11 billion miles away from Earth. And as we've been reporting, of course, NASA's Curiosity rover has picked up some intriguing signs of organic compounds in the Martian soil, but the key ingredient, carbon, may have been a castaway from Earth, according to scientists. Maybe contamination. Let's check in with our science advisor and head of the EnterpriseMission.com, Richard C. Hoagland. Richard, what do you think about this? There was so much excitement a few weeks ago, and then poof, it seemed to go away.
No, what happened is they really, really, really downplayed the significance of the announcement.
Why?
Political pressure. It's not time. This is huge. If you have real carbon and organic compounds on Mars, then everything we've talked about on this show going back, you know,
100 years,
10 years, is likely true. This is the prelude to life on Mars. It's the biggie. This is huge. Now, what was not covered at that press conference or in the discussion you had with Bob Zubrin last night is that Don Grotzinger, who is the project scientist for Curiosity, quietly announced at the end of that press briefing at the AGU in San Francisco that he was directing the Curiosity rover to make a 90-degree right-angle turn and drive 120 feet to a place called Shaler, which is nearby in this basin that they're exploring. What makes that so stunning tonight, and everybody in this Coast audience should pay super attention, Shaler is the official name for what I've been calling the apartments of Mars.
Ah, they're going apartment hunting, are they?
They are going apartment hunting. Very good, George. They are going to do up-close and personal photography, radiation samples, chem-chem, laser, the whole nine yards. He laid it out at the press conference with the code name Shaler. This is going to be done, we think, live. If you go to enterprisemission.com, you'll find the entire full story at the bottom of the article that I've written, which explains all the context with these stunning close-up images from Curiosity of these apartment-like buildings buried in the cliff. You will find links to NASA headquarters, JPL, and the White House. I need as many people as possible to email those links and demand that this be done with no dishonesty, no censorship, no fudging of photographs or data. If we get what we are going to get close up, George, the world changes, and you and I are going to do one heck of a lot of shows.
This is intriguing, Richard. Richard's website, again, enterprisemission.com. In a moment with our split show tonight, Christian Weil joins us. Miracle stem cell heart repair, an incredible series of stories from Christian Weil, including later tonight, you will hear from three Coast to Coast listeners who have had trials done, stem cells. They've gone through events, and they're still alive when in some cases they should have been dead a long time ago. Back in a moment with Christian Weil on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, if you're up late tonight because you're listening to the program, of course you are. But do you know something? you should be sleeping most of the time, because a lot of people, 67% of the people, work during the daytime, but they like to stay up late at night. Well, here's something for you. The CC Witness Plus digital player and recorder. It records the program live so you can listen to it when you have the time. And you can record now without worrying that you missed an exciting part of the program. The CC Witness Plus comes with an AM/FM radio. It's built right in. Easy to set timers to record your favorite show. CD quality recordings. Magnificent. And you can store a month's worth of shows on a very small memory card. Well, how do you get the CC Witness Plus? First of all, it's only $149.95, and you'll keep this for a long time. Call C. Crane now. Operators are there. 1-800-522-8863. That's 1-800-522-8863. You can also go online. Here's their website, ccrane.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Kristen Wild with us. Kristen is the author and researcher exploring early detection and prevention of heart disease and other health-related issues. His work is so powerful that a very well-known medical doctor said that much of what Kristen Wild suggests today is destined to become standard medical practice in the next decade. That is quite a compliment, Kristen Wild.
George, thank you. I was very happy to get that.
Well, you deserve it, my friend, indeed. What have you been working on lately?
Well, currently, I'm working on a new book. I haven't told you that. But currently, I have been doing a lot of work in regard to Alzheimer's disease. I want to bring some positive news about this particular ailment. You know, it was actually 1906 that a psychiatrist first identified the condition. And coincidentally, wouldn't you know it, his name just happened to be Alzheimer's.
I guess. And what is it exactly?
Well, here's exactly what it is. It's a neurodegenerative disease. Its causation is no secret. It develops by the formation of amyloid plaques and fibril tangles that form in the brain. Now, as these tangles increase, they interfere with the brain's circuitry and normal functioning. There's a protein, George, called beta amyloid. It's a fragment. And in a normally functioning brain, it would be chipped away. It would be eliminated and rendered harmless. That would be the ideal function in a normal brain. In the Alzheimer brain, the fragments are not eliminated and accumulate, forming solid, undissolvable plaques. And therein lies the problem.
Much like calcium builds up in the arteries?
Yes, that's a good example.
Okay. Now, can anybody, I mean, could young people get this too, or is it just primarily, you know, an affliction of the old?
Well, that's an interesting point. I don't know how many people know it, but there is an earlier form of Alzheimer's that might strike in the 40s and 50s.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what's the good news about all this?
Well, the good news is that from the research that I've done, I've been setting this stuff aside, and there's some very impressive studies that I want to share with your listeners tonight.
Okay.
Now, first of all, you know, I have never gotten any satisfaction out of presenting a problem in the stem cell research reports that we've done for Coast to Coast listeners all these years. If I couldn't find something positive to bring to their attention, I just didn't find any pleasure in bringing it at all.
Some kind of hope.
Yes, bring some hope, some semblance of hope. Now, Professor Doraswamy, I think I pronounced that right, of Duke University, in addressing the Royal College of Psychiatrists at their annual meeting in the UK, explained there is very solid evidence that turmeric's curcumin binds to plaques. He went on to say, in basic research on animals engineered to produce human amyloid plaques, as we're discussing, has shown great benefits. Most importantly, he said, you can modify a mouse so that at about 12 months, its brain is riddled with amyloid plaques. If you give this rat turmeric curcumin, it dissolves these plaques. And then he further confirmed his findings by explaining how curcumin prevented younger mice from beginning the disease and forming new plaques in the first place.
It's really amazing, isn't it?
Let me add to that. Of all the major universities studying this phenomenon for years is UCLA. And I can look at the groundbreaking peer-published studies with you that have been coming out of the Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA and the Human Biomolecular Research Institute in San Diego. This study was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. I'm going to quote it. A chemical found in curry may help the immune system clear brain plaques associated with Alzheimer's disease. This is also important because there's no known cure for Alzheimer's. Now, of all the studies, plus the Consumer Reports evaluation of all the approved Alzheimer drugs are posted on my website tonight, and also the guidelines from the American Alzheimer's Association as to the 7 stages of Alzheimer's, so people can know if they need to be concerned about a family member. Now, I'm on a roll, George. Here's another study from UCLA. Senior researcher Gregory Cole, very well known, a professor of medicine and neurology at the Geffen School of Medicine, who has conducted numerous studies on the spice, commented on the state of current drug therapy. He said, there's a need for better, safer drugs to treat Alzheimer's dementia conditions. He further explained, if it's not turmeric curcumin, we need something a lot like it,
Bingo.
Something cheap and safe with a long history of use with no side effects. And then I'm going to give you another one from UCLA. I'm heralding them because they have done such stellar work. They said that elderly villagers in India have only 1% of those 65 or older who develop the degenerative brain disease. They believe that turmeric and fish oil to be as effective as many of the medications available. And according to a study in the Archives of Neurology, found that people who ate fish just once a week had a 60% lowered chance of developing Alzheimer's.
60%? That's huge.
60%. Now, how many times, George, has somebody mentioned to you that India has the lowest cases
yes.
of Alzheimer's and dementia on the planet?
You do all the time we meet.
Maybe we don't need to look that much further. If all of this science is saying that turmeric scientifically dissolves amyloid plaque or keeps it from forming in the first place. Now, a lot of people will say to me, and I've heard it many times, but people in India may not live as long as the United States, so maybe the statistics are skewed. But yesterday I looked it up with the United Nations, and life expectancy in the United States is 78.5 years. And the average in India is 70 to 90, according to the United Nations. So that would be a fallacy, and that would not affect the truthfulness of their discovery.
If you were 25 years old, Christian,
mm-hmm.
gosh,
when
were you 25? My calculator doesn't work that far.
Mm.
But no, when you were 25 years old,
yeah.
what would you do today knowing what you know at that age?
Well, you mean in regard to protecting
yourself for your future?
I would definitely, like I do now, I would continue to have turmeric in my diet. I happen to take supplements, but
it won't hurt you.
It won't hurt you. There are no side effects, and only side effects are if you are pregnant or lactating, and I am not. If you are,
you'd be on a different show.
I would be on a different show, yeah.
Actually, you wouldn't. You'd be on this one.
The what?
That would be an interesting interview.
Would you interview me?
I sure would.
Okay, thank you, my friend. I can always count on you. Now, look at this one here. The National Institutes of Aging in Bethesda, Maryland, confirmed a 300% increased risk for all dementias, including Alzheimer's, among those with the higher recorded levels of CRP in their blood. And look at this one.
So as a young person, you would take the precautions right away.
I would take, I think a lot of young people today are. Because, you know, countries even like India that have had the low incidence of cancers, when they started adopting the Western diet, which we eat here every day, their rates have gone way up.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, So here we, I'm looking at different things that could help this disease, because the statistics are incredibly negative. They're looking at $20 trillion in the United States alone by 2050, if somebody doesn't come up with a solution, and so far they haven't. So we've talked about one solution. Another one is there's a 300% increased risk of all dementias if somebody's CRP is elevated in their blood. You and I have talked about CRP for years for the heart. And look at this one. Those patients with the highest levels of homocysteine in an Oxford study presented 4.5 times more likelihood of developing Alzheimer's and dementia. Anybody out there who may be dealing with this with your doctor, you might want to request that you have a homocysteine test. You might want to request that they monitor your CRP.
Simple blood tests.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Kristen, hold on. We're going to come back and talk about stem cells with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we'll take phone calls with Kristen Wild, introduce you to three Coast to Coast listeners who have undergone some remarkable health changes in their lives. We'll tell you about that, and we'll talk more about stem cells when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Christian's website, by the way, myheartbook.com. Just remember that, very simple, myheartbook.com. We're going to talk next hour with three Coast to Coast listeners that have gone through some remarkable. I got to say this to you, Christian. You are like an angel to these people. You have saved at least three lives that we know of, probably many more that we don't know of. It's got to make you feel good, but I've never, ever seen you stand up and take a bow.
Well, you guys give me too much credit. You know, I wrote a book and a couple of books, and I have made myself available because I don't know any other way to do it when somebody says the doctor just told him I've got maybe 6 months, maybe a year to live. But I am not a Doris Taylor, Dr. Doris Taylor, who developed this procedure. I'm not a Dr. Warren Sherman. I'm not a Dr. Amit Patel, one of the world leaders, and I am not Nabil Deeb. So I really feel a little uncomfortable because, you know, you're doing what, how can you not do it is my question. How can you not do it? Any kindness I can show, let me do it now because I may never pass this way again.
Yeah,
but hey, thank you for playing one of my favorite songs. Once Upon a Time, it was written by Gordon Jenkins. A lovely, lovely song.
It's a great rendition. My son, my 31-year-old son, loves that song.
Was that John Gary singing that?
That was Tony Bennett. One of the classics.
One of the classics.
Speaking of songs, I don't want to jump around here, but I need one from you, if you have one, for my Christmas Eve or Christmas night show.
Oh, I definitely will have
one. Okay, and I'd love to play it for everybody.
I might even write one. Here, I just got an email, George. Is there a difference between Alzheimer's disease and dementia, or are they one and the same? There are several types of dementia, at least 10, including dementia from Huntington's disease, Parkinson's, chronic alcoholism, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, and vascular dementia. There's even a severe B12 deficiency that can be resolvable, but it is a cause also of Alzheimer's. But 50 to 80% of all dementia is Alzheimer's disease. You mentioned stem cells. Canadian Institutes of Health researchers discovered a natural stem cell defense mechanism for Alzheimer's. Scientific director of the Institute of Neurosciences has said, if you inject the bone marrow stem cells into the brain, they will digest the plaque. So basically, you may be able to improve the prognosis by slowing down the progression of Alzheimer's disease. And I've got you for a second here. You know?
That's amazing.
On occasion, first of all, most of us probably never heard about this disease until 1994 when the President Ronald Reagan shared his diagnosis with us, George.
And that's what eventually did him in, right?
Yes, it did. And he bravely told us, I now begin the journey that will lead me into the sunset of my life. You know, it isn't unusual on occasion because we're not concentrating. that we forget things. And as example, where we might have left our car keys. That's a big one. It happens. Other times when we can't recall a name or a word during a conversation, and we might just wonder, is this a warning sign of something to come? Or is it
just old age?
Yeah,
right?
Is it in fact then part of the normal aging process? Thank God for that little remote on my keychain. I can't tell you how many times it's helped me find my car in a busy parking lot. And if I didn't have it last week, I'd probably still be looking for my car.
Well, we've all done that. I did that when I was in my teens, for
crying
out loud.
That's true. We're just overloaded, and we don't concentrate. But let me set your minds at ease in regard to those occasional misplaced car keys in your home. Forgetting where you put them is not a biggie. It's not a biggie, particularly with all you have on your mind today. However, the day you forget what those keys are for is when you really have a problem.
Then you have a problem.
And still having said that, serious memory lapses and cognitive dysfunction are not necessarily a normal part of the aging process.
We had to, God rest his soul, we had to take the car keys away from my late father.
Mm.
Not because he didn't know how to drive. I mean, he died at 88. We took the keys away around 85 or so. We took the car keys away because, Christian, he forgot how to come home.
That's true.
He got in the car. He started it up. He was safe. He stopped at stop signs. He knew how to drive. But once he got out, he couldn't remember how to come back.
That is the way the disease works. And everything I shared with you tonight and shared with your audience, I mean, if you're going to be the judge of what you're hearing, which you are, how can scientists overlook this information if they're looking for a way to control and contain this disease? Because on the website, when I mentioned the Consumer Reports evaluation of the current approved drugs, the results have been very disappointing. I've talked to many doctors. Some of them are even doubling up and combining two or three of these different pharmaceutical drugs, hoping for a better result. And one more point.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. Resveratrol is found to reduce amyloid plaque buildup.
That's from red wine,
from
right?
Red wine by 90%. And fish oil, according to UCLA, fish oil and turmeric have been as effective as the current drugs. This is not my information. I'm relating it to you. It's the effort and work and concentration of some of the most brilliant researchers. And somebody needs to take attention to it because...
Well, why aren't they? It's because the big pharma has got such a market on their pharmaceutical drugs. I mean, for example, big pharmaceutical companies are going to tell you about turmeric because it's a cheap spice.
They don't make any money. Now, the National Institutes of Health have more than 40 trials going on for turmeric.
Okay, so what happens, Christian, if these trials all become so well known and very positive as cures, as something that can help? We can't say the word cures
can't
right now, but let's say they actually help people,
mm-hmm,
in all forms.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? What does Big Pharma do?
Well, it turns it into a drug, and it patents that drug, and then you pay big boku bucks to get that drug.
Yeah, for what you could get at a store.
Mm-hmm.
Or wherever.
Yeah, I mean, the people in India are taking supplements, or they're taking it in their food. A lot of them aren't getting enough in their food.
They just sprinkle.
Yeah. You know, it's a difficult disease to diagnose. It can be because many factors can actually mimic symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, and a physician will need to do many tests and ask many questions. Example, Lipitor has been linked to memory loss. Certain medications, depression, severe stress. There's also an inherited gene called apolipoprotein E that was discovered in 1993. And here's a beginning test that you might or somebody might encounter when they go to a physician. He might say something like this. Well, Joe, we're going to talk for a little while. I want you to write down, or just keep in your mind, I'll write them down. You keep in your mind 5 items, and you think about it. Tell me what they are. One can be a bicycle. One can be a shotgun, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then in about 5 minutes, Joe, I'm going to ask you to recall them. And then in 15 minutes, I'm going to ask you to recall them. And in a half an hour, I'm again going to ask you to recall the 5 items.
I'm not sure I could do that now.
Well, we won't test you tonight.
Don't test me tonight.
But what a memory you have. How do you do what you do? You know, everybody's amazed at that.
Well,
for sure.
You know what? We take care of ourselves. I've got to ask you this. When you got started into your stem cell work, into your books, what happened? What was your catalyst to get you going?
Interesting. I might have told this before, but I had too many friends that had died of heart disease.
Oh.
I don't believe anybody, in all sincerity, I don't believe anybody should die of a heart attack. I do believe that if you do your due diligence, if you have treadmills frequently, most people that die, I find out, they had a clogged artery. They had ischemic heart disease.
And they had no idea.
Had no idea, you know. And their wives would tell me, I had dinner with him last night, and all of a sudden he slumped over in a chair.
Well, why don't they have, this is what I've always wondered about that, because it happens with people who are 30, 40, 50, 70. Why don't they show those kinds of folks? Why don't they show some kind of symptom months before?
Well, they probably do. They would probably say to you, you know what? I was getting fatigued. I didn't feel myself. I didn't feel as energetic as I normally do.
Okay. It just went right over them.
Yeah, let me back up here. I made a very broad statement. I don't think anybody should die of a heart attack. I don't think anybody should die of ischemic heart disease if they could have stents or have open heart surgery only, however, if they were diagnosed with proper diagnostics. I just recently, I mean, I can go back and give you, you asked me, how did I get into it? Well, just last week or the week before, again, I hear of people constantly, George, in all due respect, who say the book saved their lives. The book saved their lives. I normally wouldn't have done it, but the book told me to do this. I went in and did it. My doctor didn't want to do it. I insisted. And lo and behold, I found 3 almost totally occluded coronary arteries.
That, you know, that's ready to kill you.
That's ready to kill you. And when it happens, they have no idea. That's what you said earlier. So the more I started checking into the fact that people are dying and they're not, there's information that is not available to them. There are hidden causes of heart attacks, and that's what I went after. That wasn't the title initially, but the more I would find these different factors, any one of them could be the Achilles heel that could ruin a family's happiness.
Oh, no question.
The father in his prime or the wife in her prime.
Or what about the high school football player who drops dead on the field? I mean, how do you explain that?
I think I can. In most cases, not all. There is something called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
What is that?
That is an inherited factor that is the thickening of the septal wall. And children, when you hear of children, it's 1 in 500. It is the number one killer, and nobody talks about it. But you hear about a kid on a bicycle that drops dead driving home from school. You hear about somebody leaning over to tie their shoe and literally die. You know, I have a chapter in Hidden Causes about a family, a friend of mine. 5 members of his immediate family all died of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And you just may recall, George, one night I told him, I'm going on the show tomorrow night, and I want to talk about your family's history and tell people how they can protect their young children from HCM. Well, he didn't call me back. Called him the next day. He didn't call me back.
Oh, no.
3 days later, his daughter calls me and said, Chuck died also. That means his mother died, his 3.5-year-old niece died.
They all died.
His nephew died. His twin brother died because of HCM.
Now, and exactly what is that?
Okay. It is a thickening of the septal wall, and it literally causes the heart to stop. And unless somebody is there immediately, and it still doesn't necessarily mean they can help. Now, the way to find this out, if I had a young child going into sports or a grandchild, I would pay $400 to have an ultrasound of his heart. As a matter of fact, there are organizations all over the country now, and the stenographers offer their services for free. They'll go through a whole school and check, and they'll find people. They say, oh, this person sooner or later is going to experience a serious episode, and usually they do die.
All right, what can you do if you do that? Let's say you do the ultrasound, mm-hmm. and they see this thickening. Mm-hmm. What can they do?
Put in a pacemaker, and the kid is good to go.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And how about drugs or any kind of
Probably wouldn't need drugs. It would be just that if that heart rate dropped to a certain point, the pacemaker would kick in.
And this is very unusual. This is not a hardening of the arteries mm-hmm. or anything like that. This is something else.
Usually hits young athletes. They don't have to be active or young children. I know of a young girl, I think she was 8. She was walking in a parade, and she just keeled over.
So 1 in 500 people. You line up 500 people, one of them has this condition.
That's what they say. And I tell you, the fellow who is the doctor who is the authority on it is at the University of Minnesota, the Minnesota Heart Institute. I believe his name is Dr. Moran. He's dedicated his whole life to this. And so whenever I hear of a young child, now the American Heart Association, about 20 years ago, warned schools that they need to check their young people. They have never done it.
You could save thousands of lives.
Literally. In my book, I talk about the NFL collecting money during halftime or something, passing a bucket, because they're involved in sports. And, people would donate and they would buy ultrasounds, so each school would have them and could conduct ultrasound evaluations.
You would think that schools, before they would let their kids participate in sports,
mm-hmm.
would have to submit one of these.
You would think there's some liability.
Yeah.
If they've been warned by the American Heart Association. So that's a very preventable ailment. And there is, in regard to what we were talking about, there's an inherited gene called an epilipoprotein E. It was discovered in 1993. People who have inherited that gene have a tendency, predisposition to Alzheimer's or dementia. And Lipitor, has been linked to memory loss, certain medications, depression, severe stress. Those are all things that can mimic this particular disease. So I'm hoping that what we've talked about tonight will stimulate some people out there to be protective, to be proactive, because if I may say this, and this is just my opinion, so take it for what it's worth, but I think if you will become a little more proactive, opposed to waiting and watching, because what you save with this disease, as with many diseases, what you save by early diagnosis, you may save.
Well, for every million Coast to Coast listeners, you're saying 2,000 of them have this problem.
The young people.
Yeah.
So what will be lost by procrastination or denial may be lost permanently. What you save by if you start to see symptoms, we're in denial. We don't want to say, I think I'm having a problem. Sooner you get to a doctor, get evaluated, get some kind of medication. There are 5 that are approved.
Well, that's a good point, by the way,
yeah.
in terms of telling us, if you see the symptoms, you got to react. Kristen's website, myheartbook.com. His toll-free number is 866-STEM-123. On his website, he's got some consumer reports and some information about all these things we're talking about tonight. Back in a moment, we're going to bring you three coast-to-coast listeners who he has saved. I'll tell you about that next.